All right, we got part two going on here with Brother Cool. He was just telling us that he, on the day him and I decided when we were going to part ways and he was going to head north, you got a text message, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a text message. This job that I worked at Lacrosse, the very first time I was in Lacrosse, texted me and they're like, when are you available to start? We got you up for the start of April here, like one of the first weeks in April. That it was basically a perfect lineup. Like it would take me a week of travel to get back and I could just start work right away. And then when I got back, I went to a part-time job that I also worked at my first time in Lacrosse to see if they needed help at all. And I got there, I walked in, and they sat down with me. They're like, well, just in time, the guy we had for your position just quit. So when are you available to start? So it's the Lord lines all this stuff up.
So you got back awesome. To that town. You got a full-time job that pays really good. You got a part-time job. And, yeah, I just thought that was amazing how God just set everything up for you. And then talk about what you've been doing. You go to work, and then what have you been doing? Because we've been posting our witnessing posts, and we just put one up with just all of your stuff on it the other day. But talk about what you've been doing that has really been edifying to us to see you doing it. And I know the gospel's going out. What have you been doing in your town there?
Yeah. So before my part-time job starts, I have a little bit of time in the evenings, the afternoons, to go fly some gospel signs, and it's been predominantly downtown. I was thinking of doing somewhere else other than downtown, but the Lord wanted me downtown and got to talk to a bunch of people, hand out a bunch of gospel cards, and yeah, stand for the truth. And it's interesting to stand in the same place as I was like 8 months ago. I think it's really cool. It's like I come all the way back around like full circle, and I'm like more refined, more tried in the fire, able to stand boldly and whatnot. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is neat. We've seen a lot of growth in you. And yeah, to go back to where you were, that probably is kind of a pretty interesting thing to go, hey, I used to witness here before and I remember I was like this and now the Lord's grown me and now I'm like this. It's quite of like they say, a juxtaposition to see how God has grown you and molded you. Brother, tell everybody that's listening, what happened to you today? You were sharing with me. You right before you were going into a marketplace to work online, and you always witnessed there. What did you do, and what happened? I think this is an awesome story.
Yeah, I so when you're walking in the Spirit, I just was at the library doing some work, put a bunch of gospel cards in the books, and I decided to go to McDonald's. I had a feeling that I needed to leave at a certain time. Go to McDonald's, okay? I'm gonna sit down, do some studying and whatnot, and I get there. I parked, no one's next to me, and I get out, I get into the back of my van to get some stuff to go into McDonald's, and I'm praying in my spirit. I'm like, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to hear the gospel, line them up for me. If you need to send anyone my way, I'm willing to talk to them. I turn around, I open my van door, there's a pickup truck parked right next to me, really close to my door. There's about like a teenage kid, 18-year-old, maybe 19. He had his window fully rolled down. He was like drinking his McDonald's soda in there. And he was basically just waiting for me. He said, hello. And I'm like, hello. So I just gave him the whole gospel. And he's a Catholic, but poured a lot of truth into him. And yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you pray for it. The Lord already has it lined up. So yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah, it's been great, brother, to see you grow so much. It's been great to see you overcome. You've had people in your life that I think have really let you down, and that's really sad because they should have been better than that because they're not so new in the faith, and you've overcome that. You know, like the old worldly saying, nobody gets mad at Beethoven when somebody plays a Beethoven song really bad, right? Who gets mad at Beethoven? Well, why should you get mad at the Lord because some people have hurt you or let you down, which a lot of people do. They're, I don't want to go do this or read the Bible or do that because I've been hurt. Well, it's like, well, that's not God's fault. That's people's fault. So you've been able to overcome that really well. And you've really grown, and it's been awesome to see you. What I think's been awesome, just as your brother to see you, is how you've rolled right into doing ministry. You didn't just go back and go, well, I'll do some ministry once in a while. You're like, you're like working, sleeping, studying, doing ministry, fellowshipping. You're doing exactly what the New Testament saints did, and I think that's awesome. And it wasn't me saying, do this, do that, do that, do that. We've just watched you roll right into it, and God's molding you and forming you. So I think that's really awesome. All the glory to God, but I got to give you credit too that you're striving and you're standing fast and you're growing and you're being used of God, brother. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage the saints out there that as if you submit to God and submit to the brothers, the sisters, and tear out your pride and be low before God, He will raise you up in due time. He'll put you through what He needs to put you through to get you in the spot where He needs you to be. You just have to stay consistent, no matter if it's up and down. Just keep putting your faith in the Lord that He knows what's best for you, and that He'll give you the energy, He'll give you the strength, He'll give you the power, but you have to put your will into it. You got to say, all right, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to hold on to it.
Amen. It's a total killing of the flesh. And I think it was Galatians 5, I think it is, where Paul talks about if you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, walk in the Spirit, you know, that type of thing. And this walk is hard enough. The culture's against us. The enemy's against us. Our flesh is against us. We don't need to make it harder by being prideful and being stubborn in our self-will and holding on to things we shouldn't have and all that type of stuff. It's a hard enough walk. And if we submit, we actually, you know, Jesus said, my burden is not heavy. The burden God puts on us is not heavy. We put much of that on ourselves, don't we?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'll make that point as well. Like, once you strip out everything, and I mean, even the things that kind of have a place in your mind and your heart, maybe you're kind of still holding on to them a little bit. If you forsake everything, you forsake even that, what's going to be left is the Lord doing His work, doing the eternal work. You don't really care about anything else. And those things may pop up every once in a while, but you can put them down right away because you can say, you know what? No, I'm doing the eternal stuff. You can just kind of throw those things to the side and just keep going. So it makes it a lot easier if you strip out everything, all appearance of evil, and you're just working for the kingdom. It makes the walk, like Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and you and I are big on this when we street preach. We always tell people when we're witnessing, you got to lose your life. And how many Christians, brother, have you met and you've been close to that didn't lose their life and they ended up shipwrecking themselves, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people die on hills all the time, and the big one is pride, and religious pride is another big one. If you're just studying the scriptures, make sure you strip out pride, because that's one of the biggest preventers. You have to become as a little child. It says be converted and be as a little child.
Yeah.
Not many people are willing to do that.
Yeah. Amen, brother. And so the future, as the Lord gives us each day, you're there, you're working hard, you're supporting yourself, you're doing ministry. Sister Emma and I are doing ministry, working our way north. And if the Lord wills, we're going to be back in your area again. And I know you've been working on looking up events and things like that. So if the Lord wills, we will be doing ministry again, going to events and going out and preaching and stuff together soon. So that's kind of exciting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be awesome.
And the one thing I like to think about too is like this life that we're endeavoring to live is not Sunday church. And I like this because you're being trained up to become a disciple. And if Sister Emma and I die in a fiery car crash, you know how to follow Christ. You know what to do. You know the call He's put on your life, and you just keep going. And this is how it's supposed to be, and that's what your goal should be when you meet somebody who wants to be a disciple, pouring into them, teaching them what to do, what not to do, pointing the way, being a good example, so that when either you move away or they move away from you and you're no longer together or you would die, it's about preaching the gospel, making disciples, teaching them to obey everything He commanded, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And the Holy Spirit, and I've noticed this keeps you moving, I think. The Holy Spirit just won't let you sit still and kind of just sit there, do nothing, or just
Amen.
kind of sit in your flesh and whatnot. He'll always be poking you, saying, shouldn't you be out sharing the gospel? Shouldn't you be studying that topic? Shouldn't you be reaching out to that person? And like he keeps, like, if you start falling short on something, he'll always be there to kind of push you back up and say, nope, you got to keep going on that. So,
yeah. Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
And I got to say, you're one of the few people we know that we can actually look at and say, that's a spirit-led person. Seriously, give God, I'm giving God glory there. Because, I mean, so many people we meet that claim Christ, but you got to tell them this to do that. You got to, well, watch out for that. And then go look for this. And then, hey, shouldn't you do that? And shouldn't you? And you've really grown into a place where you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you don't need to be led around by a man. We all need encouragement. We all need maybe some maybe correction at times. We all need that, tested by other people. But to be led of the Spirit, that's the whole goal, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, everyone has to walk their own walk. And yeah, like you said, like you won't have brothers and sisters forever. Maybe some will die, maybe some will move away, whatever it might be. And you have to walk on your own. And it says in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. You need not that any man teach you.
Amen.
So if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, he'll always keep you going and keep you moving.
Yeah, amen. And so I got two things I want to talk about. So number one, you've been helping add to the website with witnessing and with studies and such. And do you find that that's helpful for your walk and for your witnessing?
Yeah, I think so. I think it really, because I keep in mind, the back of my mind, it's like everything I'm doing is edifying other saints, other seekers, other people that are listening. Around the globe, whoever it might be, someone may need to hear a word that I say. Someone may need to see me doing this, and it kind of keeps me moving. It's not just about my own walk, but it's about edifying the body of Christ and keeping them encouraged to keep going.
Amen.
To keep in the Lord.
Yeah, Hebrews 3:13 is a big deal to us. Daily edify each other, lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. And while we don't do long-distance relationship fellowship like that, we've really modified that, we still believe we can edify people so that they can walk in their walk. And if somebody's face-to-face or somebody we know face-to-face, those are the people that we're going to focus on. But yeah, being able to pour that out in this day of internet age, while we can use it, that's a great blessing, because the website goes all over. And we, Sister Amma and I, just did an audio about, we did, today we did dayinthelifeofdontperish.com. And we talked about, well, why are we telling you about this? It's not to boast about us. We're boasting about Christ. And our master said, let your good works be seen before men so it will glorify your Father in heaven. You're supposed to pray in private. You're supposed to give in private. You are not supposed to keep your good works and your preaching and you're proclaiming in private. He said, let it be seen so that your Father can be glorified. So that's what I really enjoy about street preaching, because I feel like I go out there for God's glory, and I'm boasting in what Christ has done in me, in my house, and in my brother's life. And then, yeah, you want to talk about pride? Go look up in Psalms. I covered this. I'm a proud doer of the things of God, and I know you are too. I'm not prideful in myself. I'm a proud doer of the works of God, because he's called us and made us for good works, according to Ephesians 2.
Yeah, I really like that one portion of scripture where the Lord's talking about if your eyes single, your whole body will be full of light. And then he says, if it's no part dark, it'll be as like a shining candle that gives everyone in the house light, basically. So if you have no part dark and you're just a shining candle, you haven't hid it under a bushel or anything, you're going to share everything that's going on in your life, because nothing is aligned with the kingdom of Satan. Nothing's in sin. Nothing's in false ways. You want everything in your life to embody the truth, and you want everyone to see every part of your life, because it's all truth. It's all good. It's all pure.
Yeah. That's a great point, brother. Reminds me of John 3:19-21. Men that love the light and the truth come into light. Men that love sin, they stay in the darkness. We see that all the time, don't we? Oh, don't put that light on me. No, I'm going to go hide. I'm not going to tell you the name of my church. No, I'm not going to preach the gospel to you. I'm going to hide in the dark here while they still claim Jesus. That does not stand And so, yeah, that's a great point. And then one other thing I want you to talk about, brother. I think this will edify people because this is a big issue. You said this the other day on the phone when you and I were talking, and I want you to expound on it. Ready? I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready?
Okay.
You said, I was so feminized. Talk about that, brother. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so the college system and just the culture at large, I mean, I see the video from when I first watched you street preaching, that way back in Hayward Muskie Fest, and just the way I dressed, the way I carried myself, I still remember how I carried myself that day, and the way that I dealt with the things of this life, how lazy I was, how complacent I was, and how deep in some sins that I was, and it was just, I was just totally under the spell, I guess, of this society where it's like, I'm just, I don't know how to really put it into words. It's just, I was very not a man in biblical terms.
Yeah, I like the way you said under the spell, and not that we're saying that there's something mystical about it, but it definitely is a spiritual thing. Satan has attacked God's manhood, God's family unit. And the other thing I think of is this. I think of, hey, brother, maybe shut your video off, brother, because I almost lost you there for a second. I'll shut mine off, too. Maybe that'll keep us. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. When people say feminized, you know, here's what they think. Oh, what, are you wearing a dress? No, that's not what we mean. Oh, are you promoting ladies to be pastors? Well, that's unbiblical, but no, we're not talking about that. For a man to be feminized, It's a couple of things. One, he can promote things like lady pastors or women leading their husbands around by the nose and things like that. Women showing off their bodies and showing their hair off. Yeah, that's feminized. But the other part of a man being feminized would be, would you agree with the statement? Just not being the man that God created you to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's almost like that word effeminate.
Yep. And how does the culture, looking back, how does the culture, just kind of bullet point it, how do they do that, brother?
A big thing is intellectualism, and there isn't really any truth out there. That's kind of what they push in the colleges. You have to listen to everyone's opinions.
Yep.
And you kind of form your own opinion, but you should always be open-minded to everything.
Yeah.
And you should never be solid on anything. And that leaves like a limbo of like nowhere to rest on, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so much feminism. We could talk for hours on it. There's so much feminism. Like, look at the culture, abortion, feminization, giving a woman a right to kill a baby in her womb. That's feminism. Giving women the right to do whatever they want with their bodies and use them as sexual tools, that's feminism. Men not stepping up and being the fathers and the husbands they should be in the homes, not standing against what God's word says we should stand against, all those things. And then let's talk about feminism from this standpoint. When you witness, everybody wants you to be like the fake Jesus they've created. Long hair, blue-eyed, he just loves everybody. He doesn't say a harsh word. Let's all just get along. Is that the Christ of the Scriptures, brother?
No, the Christ of the Scriptures is, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites.
Yeah.
That kind of sharp rebuke. And, yeah, that is one big thing that the Lord really weeded out of me over these past few, or past like 8 months, 9 months, I'm not really sure how long it's been, is he's tearing out all of that intellectual, man-pleasing debate ideology of like open-mindedness, like I said.
Yeah.
And he's making me, once you stand hard on the truth and you tell someone in love that they're outside of the truth and unless they repent, they're going to be damned. That's the most loving thing you can do, and you have to stand firm on that. And people will say it's like hateful, 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 but yeah. That's true love. That's biblical love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where, yeah, you're right. That's where the culture is so feminized. That's why there's 40,000 denominations. That's why the gospel isn't preached. That's why there's a false Jesus everywhere. Because everybody just wants to go along, get along, be politically correct, and not be biblical, strong, bold men of God. And then you got the exact opposite. You got the feminized, effeminate men, and then you got the opposite side, and it's what you call, I think you called it the toxic masculinity, where they think carrying a log around and shooting things with shotguns makes you a man, right?
Yeah, that's that whole other side, and we see it in the culture, and I was kind of pulled into the orbit in my lost life a little bit, because the culture is so feminized that men need kind of like an outlet
yeah.
for masculine things, so they take it to the extreme, and they do these like really brutish activities, or they act like brute beasts. I mean, the scriptures talks about that a lot,
yep.
And it's just all of these like muscle kind of like nature and like the beast of man kind of a thing.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Roman paganism. Like the gladiator games. Oh, they're real men, the gladiators. Hey, why don't we try to be real men like Paul and like Jesus were?
Right.
That's the kind
right,
of man.
The real men of the scriptures. Yeah,
that's the kind of man I'm aiming at. Hey, brother, there's a event going on real soon. They're going to be bringing people in from all over churchianity, so-called, to hear great teaching and hear encouragement in the Word of God. But for entertainment, they're having a professional boxing championship match. Can you imagine mixing violent boxing where the goal is to pummel your opponent and knock him out with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine mixing those two, brother?
No, I can't.
That's what they're doing. So yeah, that's that toxic masculinity. So yeah, I'm glad to see that God's word and God's spirit, and hopefully some good examples, have shown you the opposite of that, and you'll be able to help other men, young men, older men, whoever, to see, don't be in that ditch, don't be in that ditch, don't be a weak feminine man, don't be a muscular, I can beat you up kind of man, be a Jesus, Paul, John the Baptist kind of man. That's the goal, amen, brother?
Yeah, amen, and Satan always likes to twist what it means to really be a man, but yeah. Figure out the biblical definition, standing
Amen.
On the truth, following after or imitating people like Paul and following after Christ, who were bold on the truth, who stood for the truth,
Amen.
And Father's will. That's a real man. That's what God designed us to be.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, I think I just want to, unless you got, do you have anything else on this? I have a scripture verse I want to read for the end, but anything else on kind of just your journeys, where you are, anything else you want to share?
No, just the Lord's been very faithful to me, like he said in the scriptures, and he's been very gracious and very merciful, and he's kept me strong, and he's if you draw nigh to God, he will most certainly draw nigh to you. So that's my encouragement. Tear out this world. It's not worth it. Temporary stuff. It's just not worth it. Serve the living God.
Amen. Well said, brother. Yeah, you're a great example of a young believer striving in the things of God, and hopefully this will edify other people out there listening. I want to read Ecclesiastes 3. I love this. To everything there's a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profiteth he that worketh in that wheareth he laboreth. I love that. It just shows you the different seasons of life. And you went through a season in your religious life and then your worldly life, and so did I. And now you're in this season of following Christ in this season has to endure to the end of our lives, and we're encouraging each other to do that. So to me, and it's also the seasons, like we were together preaching and now we're apart, but staying in close fellowship, and now if the Lord wills, we'll be together preaching. And I marvel at God's seasons and how he puts everything together, and that we just strive for his glory. So it's an awesome thing. It's a pleasure to see you growing in the Lord and to walk with you, brother. So we appreciate your witness, and I know it's going to edify others out there.
Yeah, amen. It's all God's glory. I'm just the tool.
Amen, brother. All right, we'll leave it right there, and I think you and I are going to do a Proverbs together. So that'll be up posted as well, and so this will be in the Ecclesia area. So thanks for your time on this, brother. God be praised.